This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0808 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to be talking about Middlesbrough now, and I'm delighted to say that joining us to talk about them, we are joined by Dominic Shaw, Borough Editor at Teesside Live. Good afternoon, Dominic. Middlesbrough's latest result was a 1-0 win at home to Reading last weekend. What was your reaction to that win?
It was a good win. I think it was a win they needed out of the international break. They had a good run of results before it. As we talked about last week, that break came at a bad time, really, after the 2-2 draw Bristol City when Borough played really well. Reading looked very handy on Saturday. Gomez took a risk by leaving the likes of Puskas and Zhao on the bench. And they came on and it got a bit hairy late on. But Darren Randolph made it kind of outlined, you know, why he's the best keeper in the division and made a couple of absolutely brilliant highlight reel saves in the last 10 minutes. And I think Borough probably just about deserved it. And, you know, that's four games unbeaten now, which is, as the players have said repeatedly this week, that is hard to do in this division. This run of games is tough. Cardiff looks tough on Saturday, but they certainly won't go there fearing anything.
I was going to kind of allude to that Jonathan Woodgate said after the game that, does that result make a statement? I'd like to think so. We're four unbeaten now and it's hard to go four unbeaten in this league, but we've done that. Is it all about, with Middlesbrough under a new manager in Woodgate, about building confidence more than anything? Obviously, you can talk about the defensive side of the game, how many goals can you score, but actually, if anything, in this league, it's about psychologically, mentally, building a little belief that can get you on these types of good runs.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the call coming from the club this season, from the very top, from the manager and from the players, has been the need for patience, because they're trying to, you know, make a complete transformation of the way that they're playing with what was largely the same team as last year, a team assembled by Tony Pulis, who, you know, we all know Tony Pulis likes to play the game. So the fans have completely bought into what Woodgate wants. But then, as we know, ultimately in football, sooner rather than later, it does come down to results. Woodgate was well aware of that. You know, he said for all the talk, and he has talked brilliantly since the game, he knows he'll be judged on results. So to get those results at this stage, not that there was pressure, but it takes a little bit of pressure off. And I think, you know, the players and the manager have said that the league table is probably harsh on them, because they should have won at Luton on the opening day. They should have beat Brentford when they had two goals chalked off. They had... they gave away leads against Millwall and Bristol City. So, that, I mean, I know every team can look back on games and say, well, we could have had this and we could have had that. But, you know, there's certainly been opportunities there to have 3, 4, 5 more points than what they've got on the board at the minute.
Looking at that home game, one of the statistics is not an on-field statistic, actually, but in terms of the attendance, it suggests that only 19,414 people were there. Now, I know that the capacity of the Riverside is around just under 35,000. Was that noticeable on the weekend, that the stadium was nearly half full? And does that suggest anything about the Middlesbrough fan base at the moment in terms of their confidence in this side?
I think a couple of things, really. I think first things first, it's a hangover from last season. Although, you know, from the outside looking in, Borough just finished outside the top six last season, and, you know, they lost remarkably 6 games on the spin in March or April time. There's no way they should have missed out on the top six, but they did. But even to, you know, forgetting what was happening in terms of the league table, the fans were sick of watching. You know, it was a hard watch under Pulis. The season before, they kind of got away with it because the Adama Traore was excellent to watch. Last season, it was a hard watch. They weren't scoring goals. Assombe Longo or Hugo, whoever played up front, had a thankless task. And that hit the attendances. This year, I think there was an awareness that, you know, you're not going to get 10,000 bums back on seats overnight. That'll be a work in progress. And, you know, if they keep getting results, you only have to look at the recent history to show that, you know, Borough fans do come out, and you can put 5,000-7,000 on top of that. I think the other thing to take into account is, obviously, in the Championship, away followings and Borough's recent games. Reading don't travel particularly well in terms of a following. Millwall, you know, not necessarily up there when it's a long trek up to the northeast. Wigan don't travel particularly well. We were only saying yesterday in the office that Sheffield Wednesday are the next visitors, and they've already sold their initial allocation. They've been given 700 more, and it'll make such a difference to have, I think, to the occasion, to the atmosphere, to the feel inside the ground, to have, you know, a near 3,000 away following instead of, you know, 300-400 away fans kind of tucked up in that corner, because we all know what that does to an atmosphere.
One man that has a very impressive goal-scoring record for a few seasons now, the Championship, is Britt Assombalonga. He's got 3 goals so far this season. Is there maybe a little bit of an over-reliance upon him, or do you see guys like Ashley Fletcher also stepping up with a number of goals this season?
I think Paddy McNair, who's been Borough's best player so far this season, remarkably left out by Pulis last year, complete fringe figure, even though it was Pulis who signed him. And he scored, and Woodgate said afterwards that he wants double figures out of him. Marvin Johnson scored last week. Ashley Fletcher has got an eye for goal. He can finish well. Lewis Wing, you know, doesn't need a second invite to pull the trigger. So there are players there who can score. I think that was one of the things that Woodgate, when he took over and he was asked about the lack of goals, and he pointed out, you know, look, we've got players who can score in this squad. We don't need to go out and buy goal scorers. What we need to do is play to those players' strengths. And I think, you know, as we've said previously, Assombalonga last year to get 15, 16 goals in that system really is credit to him, because you wouldn't have wished it on your worst enemy, a striker playing up front in that system. It was 4-5-1, no support, very little service. This year it's different, and I think you'd be brave to bet against Assombalonga getting 20 odd goals, but there are others who'll chip in.
Finally, Dominic, up next for Middlesbrough is an away trip to Neil Warnock's Cardiff City. How tough a task is this going to be for Borough on the weekend?
Yeah, it is tough, isn't it? I mean, when the teams have came down, Cardiff, I know, you know, you're looking at that front three or four of Fulham, and it should be frightening at this level. But Cardiff are the team I fancied to go back up, because we all know that Warnock knows what it takes. They've kept a large bulk of the squad, made a couple of decent signings. They haven't started too well, and I think the two wins have come from goals in the 88th and 95th minute or something like that. I think it's one of them on Saturday where really, you know, anything Borough gets a bonus. I think the pressure's on Cardiff, a home game. You'd expect them, the home team, to win a game like that. But I think Borough are suited this year to playing on the counter, or to kind of not necessarily being under the cosh, but letting a team do what they want to do, and then looking to break. They've got players like Marvin Johnson, Britt Assombalonga, Ashley Fletcher, Lewis Wing, Paddy McNair. There's plenty of pace there. So, as I said, you know, I think, yes, it's a tough game, probably one of the toughest games in the calendar, but Borough will certainly go there confident.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Dominic. That was Dominic Shaw, Borough editor, Teesside Live, giving his views. Obviously, Jonathan Woodgate, a new manager this year into the Championship, new to management completely, first 7 games. I think he's probably done an okay job. Obviously, there's quite a lot of unhappiness amongst Middlesbrough fans at the start of play under Tony Pulis. They want us to go in a new direction, bring in someone that obviously is a person that Middlesbrough fans know very, very well. Obviously, some managers have adapted very well to their new jobs. You think of Steve Cooper at Swansea has hit the ground absolutely running there. It's not always plain sailing, and it doesn't just necessarily all fall into place straight away. But a 1-0 win last weekend at home against Reading. We touched on the kind of lack of attendance actually at the Riverside, how that might take a little while to get back going again. And up next for Middlesbrough, it's a trip to the Cardiff City Stadium on the weekend. So that's Middlesbrough for us. Up next, we're going to be staying up in the northeast of England and talking all things Hull.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. As I said, we're going to be talking about all things Hull City, and I'm delighted to say that to talk about Hull, I'm joined by Jonty Coleman, digital football writer for Hull Live and the Hull Daily Mail. Thank you very much for joining us, Jonty. I wanted to start by looking back at the last game for Hull. It was a 2-2 draw at home against Wigan. Jarrod Bowen yet again on the score sheet. What was your reaction to that draw against Wigan?
I think, in all honesty, it was quite a disappointing result, to be fair, especially going into that game and City hadn't won in five games in all competitions. So, you know, it felt like a real must-win opportunity for them. Playing against the Wigan side, one of the only few that were below them in the table at the time and still are. And especially with the way City played, I think it summed up their season so far. Played a really nice spell at times and, well, for large parts of it, led the game for most of it, but unable to take their chances. And again, Wigan didn't have much in terms of attacking opportunities, but we're just clinical, and that's ultimately come to City's downfall once again.
Looking at some of the comments that manager Grant McCann made after the game, he said that he was frustrated with the result as we created enough opportunities to win, to score two goals at home. We should be winning the game. Are these the types of games that, obviously, it is still very early in the season, that Hull will be looking back on with real regret, that these are games they really should be winning? Or is that a slightly positive sign that if Hull can get things right, then they can turn these draws into wins?
I think exactly how you said that there. There's two very different ways you can look at it. I think on the face of it, I don't think they'll face many games easier on paper than Wigan at home this season. When you look at the teams in and around the bottom three in the relegation zone at the minute, you'd expect Stoke and Huddersfield, for example, to, you know, turn their seasons around and climb a bit up the table. But Wigan, you expect to see them sort of in and around the bottom three. I think there are still positives you can take. I mean, from the performance, they do create a lot of chances and it is really promising, but ultimately it's scoring those chances has been an issue, and it wasn't just for Wigan game. I think you could have said that about pretty much all of City's home game, of City's league game so far this season, which, you know, it's a big problem for them, I think, really. I mean, Jarrod Bowen, you mentioned earlier, getting on the score sheet once again. Grzycki scored his second free kick in as many matches, so he's looking promising once again. On his 100th game as well, but without those two, City are finding a real issue to source goals at the minute, because out of the eight league goals they scored this season, at least one of them has been involved in all of them.
Let's focus on the attacking side of the game before looking at defensively. And we've mentioned the last time we spoke about Jarrod Bowen, how impressive a young player he is. Five goals and one assist at the start of the season already in the first seven games. Is there an over-reliance, would you say, on Jarrod Bowen to be the creator of not just goals, but also scoring those goals? Or do you think there are other players that could step up to sort of aid Jarrod Bowen?
Yeah, it's definitely... I think last season, there was that front three of Bowen, Grzycki and Fraser Campbell, and between them, obviously Bowen was sort of a star man, really, in terms of getting goals. But Campbell sort of chipped in as well with 12, you know, and kind of shared the workload a lot. Grzycki's still there, if anything, they sort of stepped up even more. But I think they've kind of had to, because City's new strikers in Tom Eves and Josh McGuinness just haven't got off the mark yet. do feel a bit sorry for Tom Eves, really. I mean, especially at a weekend, you know, he couldn't have worked much harder. It was just getting, when he did get chances, just failed to take them. And it's been sort of a sorry start for him so far, you know. Again, his efforts there, his ideas are there, but he's just got to get a goal. And no matter how that is, whether it's just a 1 yard tap in or a 25 yard scream, he's just got to get one for now.
In terms of the other options that Hull have going forward, I was reading up that over the summer, Grant McCann was interested in signing Bristol Rovers striker Johnson Clark-Harris, but fell short of the valuation. He then resorted to signing Tom Eves and Josh McGuinness. Also, in the last week, free agent Norbert Balog has signed on a free transfer, having had a trial with the club. Do you think those are the types of players that can, over the course of a long season, contribute enough goals to be deemed a reasonable success for Hull?
I think I think what you just said is that almost a bit of a worrying factor. They've just got to get goals from a central striker like they had it with Fraser Campbell last year. They kind of just need a replacement. McCann, based on who he has signed and the other targets he's been looking at, there's a clear identity that what he wants from a centre forward. He wants a big physical player. He, you know, will be a problem in the box, will hold up play as well, which is definitely got that in Eves and McGuinness. And based on, you know, a brief showing from Norbert Balog for the under-23s on Monday, you know, it's the same sort of philosophy with him. And again, with Clark Harris, I think the issue is with those three, none of them have got a proven record, like a proven clinical goal-scoring record at this level. Obviously, McGuinness played for Bolton last year, but, you know, he got a few goals, but clearly it wasn't enough to keep Bolton up. Tom Eaves, you know, also with Bolton's had a brief spell in this division, but, you know, this is his first real crack at it. Whereas Norbert Balog, you know, very much an unproven player, you know, in England's first real chance over here, had a few months away, had a few months away from the game after his release from Palermo. So again, it's just a case of one of them, well, you'd hope that a couple of them step up, but one of them has to sooner rather than later.
If we take a look at the defensive side of the game for Hull, when I look down at the results this season, it's quite an alarming statistic, the number of goals that Hull are conceding. Looking at the number of times that Hull have conceded either once, twice, or maybe even three times, is that actually maybe slightly more concerning that Hull are scoring goals, but they're just not able to keep them out at the other end?
In a weird way, it doesn't even feel like they're scoring as many goals as they are, purely because of the amount of chances they're creating. Like, you know, if you look at sort of the amount of shots they're having a game, it's at least like, you know, high teens, even like low 20s at times. And whereas they haven't scored more than two goals in a league game. So that kind of summarises how many chances they're making and not putting them away. Whereas at the other end, you know, for example, Wigan was a good example of it. They scored twice from 10 shots. I think Bristol City, when they came to visit, they had a similar number to Wigan and they put away three. So I think it's just when teams are playing Hull City, they're just being a lot more clinical than they are. And you do fear just with the sort of attacking style that McCann plays, he's admitted that, you know, part of his game plan does leave his full-backs at times exposed. And defensively, they do look a bit vulnerable just because of the way they set up. So I think it's going to be a case of they're just going to have to start taking their chances. And, you know, there's going to be high-scoring games, already has been this season. And I think even when City starts to click a bit more in the final third, that's only going to be, you know, more of a case.
Before we look ahead to the next game, which is away at Luton on the weekend, some awful news came out in the last few weeks that Hull player Angus McDonald has been diagnosed with bowel cancer. There was all the players were wearing McDonald shirts in the warm-ups before the weekend's game against Wigan. How happy, delighted are you with the support that the club is showing? And at this moment, kind of with this sort of situation, does it sort of put everything into perspective that, yes, obviously Hull means a huge amount to a lot of people, but when someone's going through something like this, it brings it all home?
Yeah, definitely. You've seen it, you know, with similar cases when it's like, whether it's a player suffering with cancer or, you know, a long-term injury, you know, the football family, not just at Hull City, for example, but, you know, across the country, across the world, always unites and stuff like this. And, you know, it's really inspiring and, like, good to see. Feel really fortunate for Angus McDonald, not just because of the bowel cancer treatment, but, you know, he spent the past 13 months out of action after suffering deep vein thrombosis. So it has been, and he was so close to coming back to first team action. So it's another, you know, spell on the sidelines for him. However, with the way he's spoken and the way Grant McCann's spoken about him, you know, they're both very confident that he will make a play and return in the not too distant future should his recovery go to plan. So it's encouraging to see, and, you know, obviously I wish all the best for Angus and his family.
Yeah, we echo those thoughts. We wish all the best to Angus at this awful, awful time, as you said, gone through some pretty horrendous things, but hopefully the club will get behind him this time. So finally, then, Jonty, looking ahead to the next game, which is away at Luton this weekend, what are your thoughts going into this one?
It's always a tough, tough challenge and prospect whenever you have to go to a newly promoted side away from home. Luton have started quite well. They've been sort of respectable. I mean, everyone loved watching that 3-3 draw against Middlesbrough on the opening game of the season. You know, that was fantastic to watch. And again, I think it could be very much a goal fest. I think Luton have seen more goals in their games, either scored or conceded, than any other team in the league so far. I think Hull City are fifth on that. So regardless of what result's going to be, you can almost certainly guarantee on there being a few goals. I think it is going to be a really tough test for Hull City. I mean, they haven't won in so long now. I think the last win was in the first round of the Carabao Cup away at Tranmere. Only won one league game. But, you know, they've picked up a lot of draws in that time. And they've been so, so close to winning. But Luton will be a really tough test for them. I mean, their record, especially at home over the last couple of years, speaks for itself. And, you know, it's been the same this season where, you know, they've got results there and they won't make life easy for Hull City at Kenilworth Road.
Thank you very much for joining us, Jonty. That was Jonty Coleman, digital football writer for Hull Live and the Hull Daily Mail.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Any Championship fans out there that want to share their view with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon on your club's start to the new season. We're going to be turning our attention to Luton Town now. As I said, we've talked about Middlesbrough and we talked about Hull, but now is the turn of Luton, and I'm delighted to say that joining us this afternoon to talk about Luton is Ross Lawson, journalist at Sportsbeat. Good afternoon, Ross. At the weekend, it was a 3-2 defeat away at QPR, but considering Luton were 3-0 down inside 28 minutes, is at least the positive that Luton can take from the game is that they did show some fight, they did show some character, and even though it didn't end up resulting in any points, they did at least kind of get a bit of respectability back in that game.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it there. With 28 minutes gone, you were kind of fearing the worst with 3-0 down. And to be honest, at times, 3-0 actually flattered us. We were looking very poor in the first half in particular. Just a little bit of slowness in the play coming back from the international break. And it was quite concerning because there was a lot of sort of optimism coming back into the game. We'd had a reasonable start to the season. We'd had a couple of back-to-back wins heading into the break. But to end up back at 3-2 and not actually too far from nicking a what might have been a quite an undeserved point, ended up being a bit of a result and a few sort of heads being looked at and people examining themselves and what went wrong and hopefully something that can be put right sooner rather than later.
Looking at some of the comments that Luton boss Graham Jones made after the game, he said, "But today we're losers and I don't like that. I let one or two know I didn't like what I saw in the first half. We need to learn and we need to improve and I'm sure we will." Does he come across as that type of character that at times when he needs to, he will send a rocket up some of the backsides of some of the players if he feels like it's needed?
I think so, for sure. The start of the season has been quite a positive one. We had a few defeats early on, but they weren't negative defeats as such. They weren't too bad. You know, we lost narrowly to West Brom, to Cardiff, to draw with Middlesbrough early on as well. But this is probably the first real test he's had as a manager in terms of getting his group of players back together and assessing how they've gone and the shortcomings they've had. I think he's got what it takes to get them through that. And I think this Saturday can be a real sort of examination, not just of the players and how they come back from it, but from him as a manager as well, and seeing, you know, how he deals with the disruption from a team and what was probably the first real poor performance of the campaign.
Obviously, this is Graham Jones's first full season in charge of Luton. Obviously, he took over from Nathan Jones, who's struggling at the moment at Stoke. Do you think that he is quickly learning the kind of good moments and the bad moments and how difficult it is to actually be a success in this league as a manager?
Absolutely. I think he said one of his quotes was that you either win or you learn. And this is a learning moment, not just for him, but his players as well. And this is the first time that a lot of them have been at this level. There might be times at League One level where you have bad performances and you get away with it. You might be 3-0 down after half an hour and be able to get back. But the Championship's not as rewarding. There's too many tough fixtures. There's too many tough teams that you play against for that to happen. And it's about how you respond from that. He's had a tough moment. It was always going to be a tough moment. It was going to come along at some point. We weren't going to sort of coast through a season. And I think this Saturday in particular is a real big test. We've got a chance to show what we can do as a team, as a club, and him as a manager. I think it's a really big moment for him. Needing to respond this weekend, if not, then he's not going to be under pressure. Luton are not that sort of club, and he needs to be given a chance. But he'll see it himself as pressure more than anyone externally will, for sure.
One man that started the season off very well is striker James Collins. He's got 4 goals already this season, 7 games. He scored 25 in 44 in League One last season. How impressed have you been with his transition from League One into the Championship? Does that show that there isn't necessarily a massive gulf? And surely wherever they're going to finish, he is obviously going to be a key part of this Luton side.
It's interesting because when we first got him from Crawley, or been at Crawley previously, people worried about whether he can make the step up to a top team in League Two. And then when we were in League One, could he make the step up and again into the Championship? And I think we found with him in particular, a goal scorer is a goal scorer at whatever level. He's gone and shown he can do that at international level. And he started the season off fantastically with us, deserved with his Ireland appearance and getting that goal. And I think he's been a real big part in not just scoring the goals, he's been making things, he's been dropping back, he's been giving rockets up backsides of other players as well. I still think there is a big gap between League One and the Championship, and it's just about how you adapt to that. The ball is still the same size, the goal is still the same size, a player can still hit it in the back of the net, and I think he's shown that he's got the talent. It's about making sure he's got the belief and also the opportunity to, you know, in League One you might have had three chances to score a goal, and now you might only get one a game, and he's got to make sure he capitalises each time he plays, and that's the way that Luton will get results.
Are you surprised or taken aback by kind of being back in the Championship? Are there any things that have startled you in Luton's return into the Championship? And what do you think Luton would have learned from these first seven games in the league, having been promoted?
It's wonderful to be back for a start. It's been 12 years, 12 very long years, very busy, very difficult years for the club, going down to non-league with three successive relegations, taking a while to get out, getting back into League Two and then League One, and obviously now with back-to-back promotions. I think the biggest learning is that it's going to be difficult. There are big teams you're playing. You know, you look at the fixture list before the season gets underway, and you're playing big teams week in, week out. And so there's no easy fixture in there. It is a cliche, but there's no easy team you're playing against. Every team is going to have different challenges. You're now becoming sort of one of the big boys in the league to one of the smaller teams, and people target you for 3 points. When they play you home and away. So I think that's the biggest learning is knowing that we're not going to be able to dictate as many games as we did in seasons past. We might have to be on the back foot for a lot of the time, and it's working out that if plan A doesn't work, then what have we got in reserve? What can plan B or even plan C do? Especially when you're away from home, and that's the way that we're going to be able to pick up points, and ultimately that's going to be the key to survival if it happens this year.
How crucial do you think, Ross, will Luton's home form at Kenilworth Road be? Or do you see Luton as a side that are able to pick up points away from home as the season goes along?
I think the home form is massive. At whatever league, if you haven't got the strong fortress at home, then you're struggling from the outset. We've had some good results and some good performances so far at home, both in league and cup competitions. And it's going to be a key part of what we do. And I think, as I said earlier, this Saturday in particular, we're playing a team who are below us in the table. And if you're not looking at 3 points from there, then you really are in trouble, especially if you don't get a draw. Having said that, we've picked up some good results on the road as well. We beat Cardiff in the Cup, albeit with a lot of changes. And then we went to Barnsley and won as well. And they hadn't lost at home in 28, 29 matches. So we are a force on the road as well. But I think as long as we get that home form right and keep it consistent, then hopefully we won't be looking over our shoulders too much as the year progresses.
Up next for Luton Ross is a home game, as you mentioned, against Hull on Saturday. These are the types of games you look at where Hull are in the table, down in 20th, 1 point behind Luton. Are these the games where even at such an early point in the season you look at and think, if Luton are going to stay in this league, these are just absolute no-brainers. They have to get 3 points.
I wouldn't say it's the be-all and end-all, especially at this stage. I try not to look at the table until November or October at the very earliest. But it is something that I don't think it's necessarily just the result this weekend. It's the performance. How do we pick up from what was ultimately a disappointing performance last week at QPR, and how do we make sure it's a better one this time? We got a home win last time out against Huddersfield. We came from behind to beat them as well, so that was impressive, and we've got to build on that as a team. And home form, as you said, is going to be vital. Hull are a team who are struggling a little bit. It's a good chance to play them, but as long as we have that good performance, and fingers crossed the result can match it, but it's the performance more than the result that I think is important, and how the team responds, whether there's many changes, if any, and how we go about getting back into the form that we were just starting to show before the international break.
And just finally, Ross, next Tuesday, away from league action, Luton host Leicester in the third round of the EFL Cup. How do you think that Graham Jones will approach the EFL Cup in terms of team selection and in terms of his interest? Will it be a case of any decent result is a bonus, or will he actually be taking this really seriously and saying, actually, a win in this game against a decent Premier League side could have a really, really positive impact on Luton's home or Championship form?
Well, it's interesting because we've made a lot of changes so far in both games that we've played. We played Ipswich, and then we went to Cardiff not long after losing to them in the league. We made 10 changes for the Cardiff game and yet still got a result against them, which I think was impressive in itself. So it's actually quite a hard one to call. Depending on how Saturday goes, I'd be inclined to stick with the same team that I've played in the League Cup. It's a great position to be in, where we can almost play two teams. We'll have two different teams who go out there. It's a great position to be in, and one that we've not really been in for a while. I think League Cup form can also have a big impact on the league. Be interesting to see how that goes. I think so long as you know there isn't an embarrassment, we're not losing 4 or 5-0 at home, and we can put in a good performance, which we normally do against teams who are higher in the pyramid than us. Then I think that's the way to go. If it gets a win out of it, then fantastic. If it's a game we don't, then it's not the end of the world. League is always going to be the priority. And I think it's just going to be a bonus and fingers crossed, a chance to get some of the other players a decent run out and a chance to hopefully get the fans cheering again and pick up some more form.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ross. That was Ross Lawson, a journalist at Sportsbeat, talking us through all things Luton. They're back in action on the weekend. Against Hull City at Kenilworth Road on the weekend. So Luton looking back to get to winning ways after losing 3-2 away at QPR last week. Love Sport.